Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
I hope you had a good Shabbat.
I did. And you?
Well, so Hashem, yes.
I hate to see the holiday go.
Well, to me, it wasn't quite like our holidays, so. But it was nice.
Judy, I'm Ellen.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
No. Okay, I'm going to go ahead and mute.
All right. I'm going to start with the Lashem Yehud and then the incense offering. And we'll see where we go from there. Depends on how much time we have left. Lashem Yehud Kutcha Barishu Ishkinte Bitkilu Urchimu Utkilu Utkilu Urchimu Liakta Lashem Yudhe Bavavhe Beyehuda Shalim Bashem Kol Yisrael Limud Torah Mitzvah Lasok Torah Mitzvah Vayino Amadunai Eloheinu Aleinu Maasei Adenu Kununei Aleinu Maasei Adenu Kununeihu Atahu Adonai Yohe Wahe Yoahe Dawanu Heyo Eloheinu Shehikiru Avoteinu Lifaneha Et Ketoret Asamim Bizman Shebet Hamikdash Kayam Kasher Tzivita Otam Al Yedei Moshe Nevi'echa Kakatu B'toratecha Vayomer Adonai Yohe Wahe Adanu Yo Yoahe Dawanu Heyo El Moshe Kachlecha Samim Nata Ushele Behelbena Samim Ulbona Zaka Bad Bevad Hihi El Yasita O Takatoret Rokach Masei Rokeach Mimlach Tahor Kodesh V'shachakta Mimena Hadek V'natata Mimena Lifnei Haidut V'yohel Moed Asher Ivaed L'chashama Kodesh Kadashim Tihiye Lachem V'ne'emar V'hiktir Alav Acharon Ketoret Samim Baboker Baboker Behetivo Ed Hanerot Yaktirena Uva'alot Acharon Ed Hanerot Bein Harbayim Yaktirena Ketoret Tamid Lifne Adonai Yohe Wahe Adanu Yo Yoahe Dawanu Heyo L'dorotechem. Now for the additional information that comes from the Talmud. Tanu Rabbanan Tvitum Hakatoret Ketzad Shalosh Meot Vishishim Ushmo Namanim Ayuva Shalosh Meot Vishishim Wachamisha Kaminyan Yemot Achama Mane lekol yom, v'ras b'shacharit, u'v'ras ben ha'arba'im, u'shlosha manim yeterim, shemehem, machnis kohen gadol, melo hafna b'yom ha'kippurim, u'machatziram. L'machteshet be'erev yom ha'kippurim U'shochakan yafeh yafeh k'deshet hei Daka min ha'daka V'yachar asar semanim ha'yuva V'elu ein One hatsari, two vatsiporen, three vedana, four galvona, mishkal, shivim, shivim, mane, five more, six uksia, seven vishibolet, nerd, eight uikarkom, mishkal, shisa, Asar shisa asar mane, nine hakosht shtaim asar, ten wikilufa shalosha, 11 wikinamon tisha, borit karshina tisha kabin, yain kafrisin, sein tilata, Wikabin tilata, weim ein lo yain kafrisin, mevi o hamar chivaryan atik, melach sedomit, rova hakav, maale ashan, Kol Shehu, Rabbi Natan HaBavli, Omera, Kipat HaYarden, Kol Shehu, Ve'im Natan, La Devash, Pesala, Ve'im Kisar Achat, Mikol Samadecha, Hayabita, Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel, Omer Hatzarino, Ela Sarav Hanotev Meatze, Akta Forit Karshina, Lama Hiva Akedele Apot, Ba'ed Hatzipran, Kedeshed heina, Yain kafrisin lamahu, Vakedei lishrot bo et hatziporen. Kedeshed heaza, wahalo me raglaim. Yafin la elashem, makdisin me raglaim, ba mikdash bifte hakavod, tanya rabbi natan omer, peshehu shohek omer, Hardek heitev heitev hardek mifne shehakol yafer. Samim Pit Malachatzain Keshera Lish Lish Velir Veya Lo Shemanu Amar Rabbi Yehuda Zehaklal Im Kamidata Keshera Lachatzain Weim Chisar Achat Mikol Samaneha Hayav Mita Tanya Bar Kapara Omer Achat Lishishim Ol Shivim Shana Aitava Shel Shivai Lachatzain Liotane Bar Kapara Ilu Chaya Noten Bakor Tov Shel Devash Ein Adam Yakol Amod Mifne Recha Wilama Ein Mearvin Badevash Mifne Shechatora Amra Ki Kosheur Dekoh Devash Lo Taktiru Mimenu Ishel Adonai Yohewahe Adanu Yo Yohahe Dawanu Heyo. From this point forward, we should be saying these words three times. I will only do them once. Adonai Yohewahe Adanu Yo Yohahe Dawanu Heyo. Tzivaot imanu mishkav lanu Elohe Yaakov Selah Adonai Yohewahe Adanu Yo Yohahe Dawanu Heyo Tzivaot Ashrei Adam Boteach Lach Adonai Yohewahe Adanu Yo Yohahe Dawanu Heyo Hoshia HaMelech Ya'aneinu V'yom Kareinu Ata Saeter Li Mitzar Titzreini Ranefa Alet Tisovaveni Sela. We are Vala Donayo Hewahe Adanu Yo Yoahe Dawanu Heyo Minchad Yehuda Yerushalayim Kime Olam Ukshanim Padmonio. Please join me in saying the Ana Bekoah. Ana Bekoah Gedulat Shemin Sa Atatir Adot Serura Aleph Bet Gimel Yud Tav Tzadi Kabel Shabbat. Amcha Sagvenu Baharenu Nora. Two fresh ions in Tet Nun. Nabi Gibor Dorshe Yehudcha Kevavat Shamre. Nun Gimel Dalet Yitav Shin. Barchem Tacharen Rachame Sidkacha Tamid Gamle. Betet Resh Saditav Gimel. Pasim Kadosh Berov Tufa Nael Adatecha. Et Kufbet. That Nunayim. Yachid Gea Lamcha Pene Zochre Kedushatecha. Yud Gimel Lamed Bezayim Kuf. Shavatenu Kabel Ushmatzi Akatenu Yodea Ta'alumot Shin Kufal Zadiyut Ta. We have brought the energy of creation into our space. We will now separate between the right and left column energies of this creation, utilizing the 13 attributes of mercy. Adonai Yoheh Waheh, Adonai Yoheh Waheh, El Rahum Vechanun, Erech Apayim, Verav Chesed Ve'emet. Notzecheset la'alafim, noseaon wafesha, v'chata'a v'nakei. We will now say the eighth verse of the Anabekoach in a whisper. Our class today can be found on the unique astrological times link that's available underneath the two pictures on the right of every Hashem webpage or on mobile devices at the bottom of the page. When you open up the landing page, scroll down about 70% of the way till you get to a section titled Discussion of Psalm 67. There are three links under that, and the first one we will discuss today is the silence in prayer, the use of the Shavim. And we will start with the L'Shem Yichud. L'Shem Yichud Kudsha Barichi. L'Shem Yichud Kudsha Barichi. Ishkin Te Bid Hilu Urchimu Ud Hilu Ud Hilu Urchimu. L'Achta L'Shem Yud He Bavav He. L'Yichuda Shalim B'Shem Kol Yisrael. Limud Torah mitzvah, lasok Torah mitzvah. Vayehi Noam Adonai Eloheinu aleinu maasei yadeinu kananei aleinu maasei yadeinu kananei. This essay is titled Shiviti Hashem, the Unspoken Declaration. Sometimes the siddur, the prayers, have silence that speaks louder than words. If one was to ask a class of observant Jewish students, what is the first prayer in the Siddur, the Hebrew prayer book? It's just about every hand would go up in the air. It seems like an obvious answer for most of us. But of course, if this was a real classroom, I would be pulling a Lisa Simpson and complicating the matter by pointing out some geeky fact that turns the question on its ear. You know the type, the preschool kid that tells the teacher she's wrong or he's wrong because it was Copernicus that proved the world was round? No one likes a know-it-all. But truthfully, the answer is not quite as cold-cut as it seems. And my reason for pointing out my odd fact is not to be an intellectual elitist, holding on to some more stringent view. Let me explain. First off, it would be helpful if before we start talking about liturgy, we understand what we are discussing. But before I go on to the development of liturgy, the answer to the question most people would say is to say the Mode Ani. But that can't be the first prayer in the Siddur, because the day always starts at sundown with the evening. And the first prayer in the evening depends on your ritual. It depends on whether you're Ashkenazi or Sephardi or Mizrahi or Kabbalistic. But it's not the Mode Ani which has to wait until the morning. The development of the liturgy. Liturgy has always existed within our tradition. The most published portion on the Holy Scriptures, probably more so than any book, is the Book of Psalms, which is clearly written as a collection of musical and liturgical standards. Repeating Holy Scriptures was our first stab at formal prayer, and in some cases, fixing prayers later became enshrined in Holy Scripture. The influence went both ways as Scripture and temple prayers developed. When the temple era came to an end with the destruction of Jerusalem in the year 70s of the Common Era, prayers took center stage as prescribed in Isaiah chapter 1 to offer sacrifice of the lips instead of animals. Fixed prayers from the temple were now elevated in significance, and new prayers were added over time to deliver something worthy of saying for just about every occurrence and season. But the Siddur, the prayer book we know today, would not make its rise until around the 15th century at best, and it was not widely available as a complete work until the mid to the late 19th century. For most of our history, people have just repeated prayers they knew from their common recurrence in our life cycle events. And when in doubt, people would turn to their rabbis for advice. Throughout the ages, we have learned these prayers like one learns a song. That is our liturgy. The tune and the delivery I use may be different from yours, but that's the nature of song. But no matter how it's delivered, it's a home-like tune we all relate to on some level. The development of the Nusach HaArizal, essentially the Kabbalistic minhag, customs for prayer. As the treasury we know today as the Siddur was being developed, so too the school of Jewish mysticism was on the rise. The mystics were a group of elite rabbis who collected prayers, but for a different reason than to just know what to say on a given occasion. They knew the prayers by heart, They didn't need a script. Prayers collected by the Kabbalists were incorporated in their own Siddurim. But these books mostly served as commentaries on selected prayers. The commentaries contain many diagrams and instructions on how to focus the mind in a meditative way through the Kavanot, the intentions, when we would say a prayer, when we would say a word, when we would be looking at a particular letter. As I briefly touched upon in my last week's look at the Kavanah of Psalm 67, or the Sefirat HaOmer, and we will discuss that next week, perhaps. The Baal HaTanya, Rabbi Schnauer Zalman of Liadi, the first Lubavitcher Rebbe, was one of the first of the great rabbis to really take the mystical traditions of the Lurianic Kabbalists, those who followed the Arizal, and present their customs in a complete liturgical work for congregational prayer and daily devotion. The Baal HaTanya Siddur was intended to teach the common man how to pray, a much-needed aid that was starting to take root during the late 18th century in Europe. His simplification came by focusing on documenting the things that needed to be said and leaving out silent meditations. And I will just make a comment here. Rabbi Zalman may have been one of the first, but he really wasn't the most important. There were many Hasidic rebbes following the Baal Shem Tov. There were really many modern Orthodox rabbis of that time period who followed the Gra. All of these have added prayers to the Siddur itself and differentiated between other rabbis, other traditions, other customs. What we're really saying is the full Siddur. It's a very modern approach that when we pray in a minyan, that we pray all of these prayers that have been added since the destruction of the temple. It started with a base of prayers, and then more and more things were added. Until now, it's a very long and involved process, and people feel they don't have the time, and so they race through it, instead of using each prayer as a particular meditative tool. And now that we have the time in our current situation with the plague of COVID-19, we can take the time to review those meditative tools as they are meant to be, meditatively, with silence as your mind contemplates them. Continuing. The Baal HaTanya provided his chassadim with a siddur that made full use of the richness of Jewish prayer that Eastern European Jews enjoyed and carefully conformed it to the teachings of the Arizal. The text of the Holy Ari adopted and taught was from the Sephardic tradition. The liturgy documented by the Jews of Iberia, the Jews of Spain, and in turn favored by the Jews of the Near East, the Mizrahi, the Baal HaTanya conformed his text to that style and incorporated many of its unique prayers. However, interestingly, prayer books like Eastern Europeans enjoyed were not at all common in Sephardic and Oriental Jewish communities. Oriental is another word for, or a mistranslation of the word Mizrahi. The text of the Holy Ari adopted and with the Baal HaTanya conformed his text to that style and incorporated many of its unique prayers. However, interestingly, prayer books like Eastern Europeans enjoyed were not at all common in Sephardic and Oriental Jewish communities. There was more documentation about their prayers and customs in classical legal works and Kabbalistic commentaries that they called Siddurim than in any book dedicated to how to say your prayers or lead a service. Simply put, it wasn't as needed because there was greater familiarity with the Hebrew prayers for the Jews of the Near East. In the end, as Sephardim and Mizrahi Jews began to formulate true prayer books for their prayer services, the Ashkenazim invented, they brought in the silent meditations presented with their highly involved diagrams. Why? Why did they do this? Partially because of their familiarity with them. Secondly, because in the days before the prayer books, the diagrams were often enlarged and displayed in synagogues, and holy shrines for one to use as prayer aids. It just seemed right that they belonged. There's a very famous Shaviti, and that Shaviti is essentially a picture, a diagram. And that diagram includes many different approaches depending on the illustrator, the artist. But the famous Shaviti is utilizing the verse, placing Hashem before us, a total of four words. I'm continuing to read. And you'll notice in the handout the grayish bluish sections are coming from a prayer book. They're coming from a siddur. They're coming from the Tanakh. Continuing to read. Those of you who have visited any Jewish shrines know exactly what I'm talking about. When I mention charts and mystical diagrams, we call them Shivitis. They often take on the form of in an enlarged writing of the four-letter name surrounded by verses of psalms or prayers. The most famous of these is probably in the form of Psalm 67 menorah. Others incorporated many mystical ways of reading divine names, but that are not meant to be pronounced. Why do we call them Shivitis? Because they usually bear the words of the psalm that says, Shiviti Hashem L'negdi tamid. The four verse words that come from Psalm 16:8, chapter 16, verse 8. It starts with the word Shiviti, and that's why these diagrams are called Shiviti, according to the author of this essay. I have not verified why it's called Shiviti, but this rationale makes sense. Now, one might ask, how intrusive into the text of the Siddur can these mandala-like meditations be? I mean, if they are useful, why are they left out of the Balhatanya Siddur? You might say, who is he to leave out these things that are so authentic and sacred? Well, if we use the Siddur as a Seder, an order of prayers and devotions, and go through it from waking up to going to sleep, then the first occurrence of Shiviti is at the beginning of the Siddur. That's right. When one wakes up, they are to immediately have in mind this verse, I have set Hashem before me at all times. And for this reason, in many Sephardic and Mizrach Siddurim, the first words you will see in these are these words, Shiviti Hashem Lenegdi Tamid. If this was a real classroom, I would hear just about every Western observant Jew gasp. This is problematic because at this point in history, we all accept that the first words out of our mouth and before we open our eyes is the prayer, Mode Ani, that we greatly thank God of. Of course, we also obsess over the different customs of washing among the different sects of Judaism. But we all accept in unity that we don't intone the four-letter name of Hashem in the first prayer we say of the day, and instead wait until we get around to taking care of our business. A euphemism for going to the bathroom. So we all start with this prayer that refers to Hashem, but without explicit use of the four-letter name. So ingrained is it into the mind of observant Jews that this prayer is taught and known by the children as some of their first words. Really? Before some children, toddlers, can tell you answers to simple questions, they already know how to say this prayer by heart. Though in our different communities, we might truncate the prayers to make them easier to say for children at first. Modeh Ani is not one of them, as we want to learn it in full. This is our first confession of the day. I don't want to spend too much time on it, as we will get to this prayer next week. I've already taken us the scenic route to the point of all of this. At this point, many would say, okay, I understand now where the Balhatanya would leave it out. You don't want to confuse people so that they might say the words of Shiviti Hashem. Good thinking. But still, there will be a few who will grumble and whisper to each other. See, I told you those Sephardim, the Hasidim, and the Kabbalists are playing fast and loose with orthodoxy. Considering myself to be a product of all of the above, I would ask someone to cough up their copy of the Shulchan Aruch for a second. I'd hold it up and make the point that there is nothing more orthodox than the Shulchan Aruch, which would become known as to Anglos as the code of Jewish law. I wouldn't even cite the words of Rabbi Joseph Caro, the Sephardic Kabbalistic master known as the Maran, who first authored this work. Ironically, I'd cite the words of the Ramah, Rabbi Moses Isserles, who wrote the Ashkenazi commentary to the Shulchan Aruch. Shiviti Negdi Tamid. Hu Kalal Gadol the Torah. Ora Ugma'alot HaTzadikim Asher Holichim Lifnei HaElohim. I have placed Hashem before me at all times. This is a paramount principle of the Torah and attributes of the steps of the righteous who walk before Elohim. For most of us, This is not clear understandings. We don't need to turn far. If we take the book when it comes to Jewish practice and turn to the very first reference page and paragraph, and here we have it. This would also be repeated by the Baal HaTanya in the Shulchan Aruch HaRav, Mechadura Batra, just within the quote of our biblical verse at the end, instead of being the leading words. According to the code, the first thing we are supposed to think in our mind at the start of the day is, I have placed Hashem before me at all times. Here the Rima is himself quoting the Rambam, Rabbi Moses Maimonides, the 12th century Sephardic scholar, the master rationalist, and the first exhaustive codifier of Jewish law, the guide for the perplexed. Now there is probably a reason other than just typesetting that explains the juxtaposition. When the Baal HaTanya repeats this law, to make it clear to his reader that this is a thought and not a statement, he moves it to the end and adds the words, Kumo Shekavut, as it is written. He wants his chassadim to know this is a thought. It's not spoken words. Like it's written, it remains written, but not said. As I have pointed out, when we created this his Siddur, the Nusach HaRizal, known as the Siddur Torah Ora, he focused on the spoken words and not the meditations. However, if you look closely, it was not a forgotten point. It just became mentioned in the notes, which are exact quotations from his Shulchan Aruch. The Nusach HaRizal is a process, not a possession. And this is primarily the difference between the Nusach HaHari from the Chabad tradition and the Nusach HaRizal, the Siddurim of either the Sephardic or other Kabbalistic origins. The Nusach of the Sephardim Mizrachim and other Hasadim have been heavily influenced by the teachings of the Arizal. And following his teachings, so their prayers are Nusach HaRi in their own right as well. However, these other texts tend to contain many meditations and silent things that are not meant to be spoken out loud, and contain local variances and customs. This pretty much sums up the differences. The Arizal never wrote a Siddur of his own, and for that matter, never wrote any writings for himself. Instead, we learn of his wisdom through his student, Rabbi Chaim Vital, and his other disciples, so we all just copy his teachings. Thus, no one can lay claim to having the Nusach HaRi. The Nusach HaRizal is a way, not a thing. I say all of this because as we start to step into the study of the Siddur, I am going to presenting the text according to the Nusach HaRizal. This is most often going to be based on the text of the Lubavitcher Chassadim, the text that this author adopted and utilizes in his daily prayers. Though at other times I will mention the Nusach Edut HaMizrach, the tradition of the Sephardic and the Mizrahi Jews, which is my tradition by birth. I do this to be intellectually honest. I can only share what I know. This is what I understand. So that all I feel free talking about, but I will try to touch on other unique aspects of the different traditions when possible. But I hope we all understand that when we talk about the Siddur, we are talking about a growing and a living thing that we all need to be flexible and giving towards, because it's something different to us all, and that is okay and possible without compromising anything. Nachon, do you have it? Is this clear? The Kavanah, the intention, how to Shiviti Hashem. Now on to the fun part. As we have discussed, the generally universal tradition today is to always start our day with a prayer of thanks. This is the Modeh Ani. It is the custom to not open one's eyes nor say any other word in the morning until we give thanks. But we don't say any divine name until we wash out of respect of Hashem and in respect of our need for self-care right away. However, before we open our eyes, it is a good practice for us to mentally make ourselves aware that Hashem is before us at all times. We can even visualize the four-letter name, but not say it. And this is something we should all be able to agree upon. It is appropriate. But why should we do it? If it's an intention, a kavanah, what is its purpose? What do we want to achieve or recognize by this? To find the answer, let us continue looking at the text of the Shulchan Aruch. For the manner that a person sits, moves and conducts himself when he is alone in his house is not the manner one sits or moves and deals when before the presence of a great king. Likewise, in the way one chats openly as he wishes while he is among his household and his relatives, it is not the same way as when he speaks in the court of a king. How much more if a man strongly takes to heart that the great king, the Holy One, blessed be he, whom the whole earth is filled with his glory, stands over him and observes his deeds. As it says, if a person hides out of sight, will I not see him? Says Hashem. Considering this, he will respect and surrender to awe of the Holy One, blessed be he, and be bashful before him always. One should not be ashamed before people who mock his service to Hashem. Even secretly when lying in one's bed, know before whom he is lying. Immediately arouse oneself from slumber with agility to serve the praised and exalted Creator. I'm going to take a moment to contemplate what we just read in the English and to be able to scan the Hebrew for those who did not do so as we read along. The Rima does such a great job of explaining this concept, so it's hard to top that. But he gives us a lot to think about. Every day as we consider this, the meaning of it grows. Let's take a few minutes to walk through some of these thoughts together. These are just a few ideas of what we can think about. Make the name of God apparent. Even before we have opened our eyes or moved to get up, we are to think about Hashem. Placing Hashem before us means that we make a mental commitment to act as though we are in the presence of Hashem. just like if we were in the presence of a king or a judge. We would want to behave becomingly. We should recognize our lives are watched over by Hashem. This comes with a benefit. On one hand, we have Hashem looking out for us to administer liberty and justice. But we also have a responsibility to recognize that Hashem demands that we behave as decent people in our dealing, even when we think that no one else is watching. Before we open our eyes, we determine to behave as noble and dignified people in our dealings, both in public and in private. If we can do it in our private lives, we won't have slip-ups of bad actions in public. That last sentence is something that truly has to be contemplated. We all know people who from time to time will say what we consider negative words. In modern generations, those negative words have become commonplace. We say the F word. We say the G, D words. We don't say them all the time, but once in a while we slip up. And we forgive ourselves when we do. And it's okay to forgive yourself when you do. But it's also important to not say it. And to remember to not say it. And if we are behaving in our private lives as we would in public, we won't have a problem with these words. We won't have children who've heard these words from our lips and started to copy them and embarrassing us when they say it in public. Choosing to use noble speech. What's funny about the wording that Shulchan Aruch uses is that it describes a person that is in their own home, among their own guests, and surrounded by their own family, and feeling free to speak openly. He just blabs with his mouth, widely letting loose whatever he feels like without regard. Before we say a single word, we determine to employ noble and becoming speech. One of the terrible things about Lashon Hara, evil speech, is that most of us would never allow ourselves to say the types of things publicly that we say privately. We would be too ashamed. So we think about being in the presence of the greatest king, God himself. Then we would watch what comes out of our mouths and speak it in a dignified way. This means even in the way we speak to ourselves in our thoughts, contemplated. Some of us say demeaning things about ourselves that we are too considerate to ever say to another human being. Consider where God is at in our lives. The entire world is filled with God. We understand in Kabbalistic principle that God is the Ein Sof, without limits, without end. But that also means that though God is not one thing or a person, his very sustenance and glory fill the entire universe. God's glory exists in everything and everywhere, no matter how much any of us try to take credit or mold things our way. We need to consider that there is nothing outside of his realm of influence or where his rules of goodness need not apply. We need to think, how would we act if God was a person standing over us and observing our deeds. It's not that God is watching over us like a prison guard, waiting for us to slip up. Actually, the relationship is one in which Hashem is given credit for everything we enjoy and every opportunity we have through a blessing. In order for us to do something that is wrong, most people, out of seeming shame, decide that they will not say inappropriate blessings for whatever action or item they are illicitly enjoying. But just because we don't mention Hashem doesn't mean his ways don't exist. That is as silly as pretending your spouse doesn't exist if you turn around their portrait. We should discipline ourselves to know the godliness is displayed through creation, through progress, through wisdom, through prosperity, and anything else that we can think of. And while his essay does not mention the lack of money, the requirement to stay home that we're existing and living through right now, all of this comes from Hashem. We need to appreciate that so that when the person slaps us in the face or gives us $100 bill, our reaction is the same. Both of these come from Hashem, and I thank Hashem for sending them to me. Everything we see is a manifestation of God's order, Hashem's plan of creation. If we understood that, then everything we see will begin to remind us of Hashem and his ways. We are out of time. I'm going to recommend that you read the balance of this essay and to become aware and to remember each time you wake up to see Hashem's name before you. Always. Are there any questions? I will mention our times and classes. Today, Sunday at 3 p.m. West Coast time, we will have a class in advanced reincarnation. Tomorrow, at 1 p.m., tomorrow at 2 p.m., we will have a class in the principles of Kabbalah. It's a review of our basic classes. It's been a while since we have reviewed them, and it's recommended that we all review them from time to time. Our 4:30 class will be a deep Zohar class. And our 7 o'clock class will be the writings of the Ari. I bid you all Shavuot Tov and ask, are there any questions from today's class?
What about the time for counting the Omer?
Say again, please.
Well, you didn't give us a time about counting the Omer tonight.
Thank you. The time for counting the Omer tonight will be at 7. Will be at 4:30 West Coast time.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Shalom.
Shalom.
Thank you. Shalom.
Shavuot
Tov. Thank you. Shavuot Tov. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.